I'm so excited to be with y'all today. This is just such a special place. I have been here since I could remember with my family, and this place has just been a really special place. And No, it's all good. It's all good. Thank you so much for helping me. And my mom was actually reminding me of this story. This is a few years back, or a little while back. I was younger, way younger, and we were coming up, and my dad had finished speaking, and we were in the car, and we were waiting in the car for a really long time. Everyone left the church, and I'm sure he was talking to one of the pastors up here, and he was talking for a while, and I was with my mom, and I was really little, and I told her, "Mom, when Dad gets to heaven, he's going to be interrupting God." And so he just talked, y'all know, he talked so much, and he was just so passionate about people and so passionate about the gospel. And I just wish I could have half of that, half of the legacy that he had on this earth. And he had so much joy for the Lord, so much passion, like I was saying, and just loved y'all. And he just wanted to come back here every single year because of how much he loved y'all and how much he wanted to pour into this church and how much y'all poured into him and y'all poured into us. And so y'all have just been a really special place. I just wanted to let y'all know that. And so I was just so honored to be able to come and speak here this morning. And I just want to talk to y'all about something that the Lord has really placed on my heart this summer, especially, and something that he's been teaching me. And so I'm going to be teaching out of John 4. And so if y'all have your Bibles, you can open up to John 4. And so the Lord has been teaching me a lot about contentment this summer. And also, something I've been doing a lot this summer is I've been tanning out at the pool a lot because y'all know it has been so hot this summer to the point it's scorching hot out there. And the only way I can sit out and be outside is if I'm next to my pool. And so this was a couple weeks ago. I was out at my pool and I was tanning and it was so hot. And so I was going inside to get a drink because it was so hot outside. And so I went inside and I got my favorite drink, sparkling ice, and I had my sparkling ice and it was gone in a second. And so I had to get another drink in the refrigerator. And I just kept going through all of these drinks and I was like, oh, like nothing is quenching my thirst. And so I finally went upstairs and got some water, and literally I had a couple sips of water and that quenched my thirst. And if I had just gone to the water first, I wouldn't have had to go through all these other drinks to quench my thirst. And that really got me thinking, why do we do that with our spiritual lives? Why? We know that the Lord is the only thing that's going to satisfy us and make us content, but we go to all of these other things to give us contentment. We go to our jobs, we go to our friends, we go to our boyfriend or girlfriend, or our husbands and wives. There's so many different things we go to for our satisfaction and contentment, but we realize like the Lord is the only thing that's going to satisfy us. He gave us eternity in the heart, which means that he gave us a longing that only he can fill. He created us that way. And it's so easy to buy into that job, so easy to buy into the friends we have that will give us contentment. And those things are good in of itself, but those are going to give us temporary happiness. Those are always going to let us down. And so we need to realize that the Lord has a purpose for those things, but we need to have our ultimate contentment, ultimate satisfaction in him. And we need to live open-handed with those things, realizing that those aren't ours to clench onto. We need to give those to the Lord, because our ultimate contentment and joy needs to be in him, because he's never going to let us down. And so there is a really amazing story in the Bible that really paints this picture for us. And so it's in John 4. And this is when Jesus is approaching the Samaritan woman at the well. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 4 or 7. I'll start in 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And this is a really interesting story because Jesus approaches a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day. And this is unheard of for a man to approach a woman back then, and especially a Jew approaching a Samaritan. Jews did not like Samaritans. Samaritans did not like Jews. And so the fact that he approached her is really interesting. And he approached her with love, and he didn't condemn her for the things she did. He called them out, but he didn't condemn her. And what he's doing here is he's trying to tell her, you can only have this living water in me. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy you. And she's been searching for those things. You can see that she's been trying to search for contentment in a husband. And she's saying, Jesus is telling her, you can only find this contentment in me. And he's telling that to her with love. And he is saying to lay this at my feet and to come to me. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Because he knows this isn't easy. He knows it isn't easy to always find contentment in him. It's hard. We're in a world that is constantly telling us to put our contentment in other things, into worldly things. And so he knows it is hard. And that's just, it's something that I've been struggling with. It's so easy for me to constantly be thinking, oh, I just want to go to last year when I was with my dad and I was interning with him. Or I can constantly be thinking about the future. Oh, I just can't wait for when I have my ministry in the future and when I have my career and all of this. And so I can constantly not be content in the present and what the Lord has for me right now. But Jesus is saying, come to me. I am your Lord. I am not condemning you. I am going to be here for you. Just come to me. And I just think that's really beautiful that he loves us and wants a relationship with us. And he's not condemning us. He realizes that it's hard. I mean, he came here on earth as a human and realized how hard it was to do all these things. But he's saying it's possible. It's possible in me. You just need to come to me. And when I was thinking more about contentment, I was realizing that Paul is a really great example of this, a really great example of putting our contentment and satisfaction in him. And so I went to Philippians 4, and I'm going to read Philippians 4 if y'all want to turn there, because he just has amazing things to say about how to put our contentment in Christ. And so I'm going to start in verse 4. So Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." And so this is an amazing passage that I go back to a lot, and he has so many amazing things to say about being content in Christ. And so in the beginning, he's telling us to be content in his presence, in the Lord's presence. And so he's saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests as God. He's saying the Lord is near, and he's telling us things to think about, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Think about these things. And so I'm calling on today to think, what are you thinking about? What do you spend time thinking about? He's saying the Lord is going to draw near if we draw near to him. And so are you spending time with the Lord? Are you in the Bible daily? Are you praying? Are you in community with other believers? You need to be close to the Lord. You need to be praying to him. You need to be in his presence in order to hear from him. We're not going to get this contentment and satisfaction in Christ if we're not spending time with him. If you had a best friend, but you never spent time with them, you wouldn't know them. And so we need to be spending time with the Lord, and we need to be in his presence in order to get satisfaction and contentment from him. Senior year, so this is a couple years ago, everyone in my grade had to write a 26-page thesis, and you had to present it in front of the entire school. And so you really wanted to do a topic that really interested you, because you're going to be spending your entire year on this topic. And so I actually did mine on the brain and contentment. The brain just really fascinates me. And so what my research concluded basically about contentment is, whatever you put in your brain is what you're going to become. So if you're constantly thinking about anxious things, your brain has become wired to be anxious. If you're thinking about positive things, you're in the Word, you're going to be a more positive person, and your brain is going to be wired that way. And so when you're not dwelling with the Lord, you're going to be more anxious. You're going to be, because that's what the world is going to give you, is anxious thoughts, all these things. I mean, if you look at the news, like, it just makes me anxious thinking about the news and everything that's going on in the world. And so if we're not every morning getting in the Word and finding our contentment, satisfaction in him, the world is just going to be coming at us. And so we need to be in the Word in order to have that joy and satisfaction throughout the day. Because it's a daily walk. It's not a one and done thing. It is an every single day surrendering to the Lord and seeing what he has to tell us in his Word, because every single morning he has something new to tell you, and that's beautiful to me. And so something else that Paul wants to tell us is to be content in the present. And so if you turn, he says later on in Philippians that my God will meet all of your needs. And so he also says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him. He gives me strength. And so he's telling us that the Lord is going to supply your needs for today. You don't need to be worried about your past. You don't need to be worried about your future. The Lord has you today. He has a purpose for you today. And so want you to think, what are you not trusting the Lord to supply you for? Are you not trusting his timing? I think it is so easy for us in any stage of life to constantly be thinking about a different season of life or thinking about the future. I know so many times when I was in middle school, I'd be thinking, oh, I can't wait to get to high school and to get that license and to be able to drive and be on my own. And then I couldn't wait in high school to go to college and go somewhere new and be even more on my own and have more independence. And then when you're in college, you are constantly thinking about your career or getting married. And then when you're in your career, and if you're not happy in your career, you want to go to another job, and you're constantly thinking about something else, or, oh, I'm going to be happy when my bills are paid, or, oh, I'm going to be happy when this, I'm going to be happy when that. But that is not what the Lord is calling us to. He's calling us to be content in today, and content in his presence, and content in this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. He's given us today as a gift. And so if we're not careful, we could spend our entire lives wishing for tomorrow, wishing for another day that we're not even promised. And so why aren't we taking advantage of today? Because he has a purpose for you today. And no matter what stage of life you're in, the Lord can use you, and you have influence. No matter where it is, whether at your school or your workplace, anywhere, you have influence today, and people are looking at you for, and so you need to be able to have contentment in today, and not in yesterday, not in tomorrow, but this present moment, because he has a purpose for this present moment. And so in 11th grade, I had a philosophy class, and it was actually one of my most favorite classes. And we watched a documentary on happiness, and something that was really interesting, it followed these, a lot of different people, but the two people that stood out to me were this bike taxi man and this man, I forgot what he was, but he was basically royalty. And so one man was in India and was probably the poorest person on the in the earth. He had a little mound for a house. He had a family and they lived there. And he was a bike taxi, or he had a bike taxi and would drive people everywhere around India. And he was the poorest person in the world, but I think he was also the happiest person in the world. And we're wondering, why would this guy be happy? He doesn't have anything. But he would wake up every morning and just be happy to wake up. He'd be happy to see the sunrise. He'd be happy to see smiles on his kids' faces. And he'd be happy to take people around India. And he was just so happy. And when he got food that day, he was so thankful for it. And so he wasn't thinking about tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about yesterday. He was thinking about today. How can I help my family today? And I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful to have this life. And so I think we should be more like this bike taxi man and thinking, wow, we need to be present in today and all the things that we have. We are so blessed. We have a roof over our heads. We have food on the table. We have so many things that we need to be thankful for the Lord for every single day. Something I've been doing is I have been keeping a thankfulness journal every single day, and it should, you just write three things you're thankful for every day. And it really shows you there are so many things to be thankful for, and some things I wouldn't think of before until I started doing this. And it just has really made me have a more thankful heart than before I started doing this, because I'm realizing all the hidden miracles and hidden things that the Lord has done in my life, even when I'm going through something really hard, because all of us are going through hard things. But we also have so many blessings. And so that's been something that has been really helping me. And so on the flip side of that, so I was telling you about the bike taxi man, there was also a man in royalty, and he was not happy. He had all of the riches of the world, but he was constantly thinking, oh, how can I be more popular? How can I have more status? How many more cars can I get? How many more houses can I get? And so he was never happy in the present moment. He was constantly thinking about the future, constantly thinking about his past. And so he wasn't happy and content in the moment. And so I'm going back to the bike taxi man. Let's be more like him. Let us have contentment and satisfaction in today and in our Lord, who is with us today and in the present. And he loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow. He loves you so much. And he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And so just rest in that today, that he has a plan for you, even if you don't know the plan. And so Paul is also telling us to be content in the cross. And so he says in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so basically what he's saying here is, if I live today, that's great. But if I die today and go to heaven, that's great too. And so he's saying that his ultimate prize is Jesus. None of the little things mattered to him. He didn't care if people didn't like him. I mean, just think about this. Philippians is known as the happiest book in the Bible, yet it was written when he was in prison. So he was in a really hard time in his life, yet he realized the ultimate prize was Jesus and a relationship with him, and nothing else got in the way of that for him. And so he's wanting to tell us, like, we're going to be restless until we rest in the Lord and rest in the cross and rest that he died on the cross for our sin and rose again, and we can live in that power. And if you're a Christian, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in you. And that is just amazing. And it's just something that I think we lose sight of, because if you've grown up in church, it's just something you've always heard. But it's amazing. And we have the best story in the entire world, the gospel. And we need to be carrying that to the world. And we need to be thinking about others. In Philippians 2:3, it says, count others more significant than yourselves. And so we need to be counting others more significant than ourselves, because that helps us be more content. If we're constantly thinking about ourselves, we're not going to be content, because we're constantly going to be thinking, how can we satisfy ourselves? But if we're thinking about loving others, spreading the gospel, sharing Jesus' light and all of that, that's going to make us more happy. And that's going to make a bigger impact in the long run and give us a purpose. And so that is how we're content, is in a relationship with him. And so I just want to challenge y'all. When is the Lord going to be enough for you? He is offering you everything you'll ever want and you'll ever need, and he's providing for you. He is your Father. He is your Lord and Savior. You are his child, and we're going to have this contentment in heaven. If you're a Christian, you're going to be going to heaven, and we're going to have this ultimate contentment, and it's going to be amazing. But he's offering us heaven on earth right now, and he's saying you can be content today. You don't have to wait till we're in heaven. You can be content today and get a piece of heaven today here on earth, and that is so beautiful. And so that makes me think, what is something that you're not surrendering the Lord to? What is something that you are taking to be your satisfaction, and it's not working? You're not happy. You're not content in today. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about the past. What is that one thing that is keeping you from being content in the Lord and content in his presence? And so I want to go into a time of prayer and reflection, and I'm going to do the same thing. And in this time of prayer and reflection, we're going to be thinking about, what is that one thing that's keeping us from being content? And because when we do realize that, we need to surrender that to him, and we need to realize, wow, my contentment can only be found in Christ. I need to be praying every day. I need to be in his presence. I need to be content in the present, and I also need to be content in the cross. And so I want to invite Joe up right now, and he's going to lead us in a prayer and just time of reflection to just make us realize we need to be content in Christ. And so what is that one thing we need to surrender?
All right, thank you, Eden. Let's just do this. Let's bow our heads, and as Eden said, let's just enter into a time of reflection. Fish, if y'all got something real light, y'all can play it up there. It doesn't have to have words, or it can. We're going to actually even open the altar. We've got plenty of time. I know what she was speaking about. God definitely spoke to me about being content in the moment, and not thinking about or complaining about what may happen the next day. Then you have to remember her circumstances, what she's going through, to be able to stand up here and say that. I know many of you are going through trials yourself. So if the Lord's spoken to you this morning, and you want to come to the altar and pray for a moment, you do that. If not, you pray at your seat. We're just going to let the guys play something real softly over the next few moments, and then I'll come back and say a prayer.